the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. He's here, and we are the majority. Praise the Lord. I'm so excited to be here, and thank you so much for those who are here for the first time. We do appreciate you, and come back again and visit us. Amen.
Amen.
So this is our last meeting in this facility. We are moving to Fremont Community Church. It's gonna be closer to many other people that fellowship with us here, and we are looking forward to being there in September. Sister Jan has been pushing for us to get in there as soon as we can. So we want to thank the Fremont Community Church for allowing us use their conference room. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
So this morning, I am so excited, and you know, at times the enemy tries to make you feel like, you know, you shouldn't be so excited. The enemy will try to pull up things in your life that will make you want to give up. But God is faithful, that even in those moments, you will still remain strong. So this morning, I have a message from the Lord, and the title of the message is, God Will Sustain You.
Amen.
Amen. God will sustain you. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. It doesn't matter what is going to come your way, because the question is not whether you will go through trials and tribulations. They will come, because that is what the Bible says. But the key point is to remember that in those moments, in those trials, in those weakness, God will sustain you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And I didn't have the message until the weird hours of this morning, because one thing that I refuse to do is to try and prepare a message ahead of time without hearing from the Lord. And so I know that this morning there is somebody sitting here that wants to hear that message on how God can sustain you, and how God has sustained other people in the past, and how God has taken out other people from where you are, from the very pit that you think you are in today, from the same issue that you're facing today, and he has delivered them. He has healed them of the same sickness or disease that you're facing today. God, time and time and time again, always does what he has done in the past. So his power is not limited because of where you are. His power is not limited because of the generation we live in right now. His power is still the same. The same power that divided the Red Sea is ready today here to walk you through, to heal you, to deliver you, to provide for you, to give you the answer to that very question that has been disturbing you. Praise God. Spirit of the living God, I will ask that you possess my lips and take over your word as you minister to us this morning. We thank you that you've been here during the worship, and you will continue speaking to us even in your word. And Father, how I pray that every ear that is here will hear your word, oh God. Father, we thank you that our minds will be focused on the word, oh God. We thank you for your power to deliver, your power to heal, your power, oh God, to comfort, oh Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Come now and minister to us. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. So in the book of Psalm 55, verses 2, the book of Psalm 55 verses 2 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. So, you know, as I said before, this life has challenges. We are filled every morning you wake up. There are a set of different challenges that faced you yesterday. But the Bible says that we should cast our burdens to the Lord so that He can sustain us. Now, what is God's sustaining grace? God's sustaining grace is the power to keep you going even when you feel like giving up. I don't know about you. I don't know whether you've been in a situation or circumstances or environment where you felt like you needed to give up, where you didn't even hear from the Lord. And maybe you had people say you ran into some of the people that say, you know, God is teaching you something. But you look at your own situation, you don't see anything that God is teaching you. Maybe because you're not attentive enough. And I don't believe that God is going to teach you something when you're not even listening, even when you're not in a position to know what He's teaching you. So there are times that we go through trials. We will find ourselves in situations where you will not even hear the voice of God. But even in that moment, His sustaining power is still available and is still upon you. And so if you're going through something today and the religious folks have told you that you must be hearing from God at this time, God is teaching you something, and you look around at your own life, you try to be attentive, you try to pray, you try to read the word of God, and you don't even hear the voice of God. You can't even relate with the word of God at that very given moment. I want to tell you that even in that situation, even in that circumstance, God's power is sustaining you.
Amen.
Do you ever feel like you want to throw the towel in? Or do you feel like quitting? You know, how many of you have felt like quitting you know very well that that's where God has called you to be. You know that that's the path that you're walking towards, but challenges come and you feel like you want to quit. I'm here to remind you, don't quit.
Amen.
Because in the kingdom, the power of God is there to make you keep going. The enemy will tell you, it's, you know, you can quit, but don't quit. Refuse to quit. Even the moment when you see the evidence of fear instead of the evidence of faith, press in and say, God, I know you will sustain me.
Amen.
You know, friends, life is not a marathon. You know, I come from Kenya, so I know what running is.
Yeah.
Wow. Believe me or not, I used to do 10K. I used to run when I was younger. But there's a difference between a marathon and a sprint. And so life is a marathon. What is the difference? Now, in a sprint, you finish the race within a few seconds. But a marathon goes for hours. In a marathon, you go through terrains, through hills and mountains at times. And so is life. You see, for people who do sprinting, the key is gathering the speed to start and to finish. But in marathon, is the ability to use those movements to sustain you. To use those movements to sustain you. So when the enemy comes in sickness, what the Lord wants you to know is to exercise those movements that faith that is going to sustain you. When the pain comes, remind the enemy that God's power will sustain me. God's healing is upon me, will sustain me. Though I walk through the valley of death, yet I will not fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Though you may be going through the valley of joblessness, and you don't see where your next bill, how it's going to be paid. You don't see where your next help is going to come from. In that valley, remember, God will sustain you. Not only is he going to sustain you, but he's going to take you out of it and provide for you. The reason why God wants you at times to linger in that place long enough is to identify in the future with the people that are going through what you're going through now. It's not necessarily that God is teaching you something, but God is making a teacher out of you. And so when you say, when you talk to people and how he walked you when you didn't have a job, how he walked you through when you were sick and the doctor said you're gonna die, and when they see you and you say, I'm a teacher of healing, because not only have I read about healing, because I've been healed. I'm a teacher of patience. I'm a teacher of God's provision. Not because I've just read about the way God provides, but God has been my provider. That's the whole reason why God is sustaining you. Why it's taking longer. Because teachers don't just become teachers. Amen. And if you're in it, don't think it's for you. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. This valley is not necessarily about you. It's about someone else. And so God allows us to go through situations where he sustains us, but it's not just because of us. He's making something out of us. He's saying, you know, when you are done with this, you will look at somebody that has been given a death sentence through a sickness, and you will say, I hear you. I feel you. I know how it feels. I know the confusion that can come with this report. I know the fear that can come with this. But I will walk beside you because I have been through it. And I'm here to help you. Amen. Go through this. Amen. We need God's sustaining grace every moment of our lives.
Yes, we do.
In temptations, we need God's sustaining power. In life, we will stumble and fall. And so God's sustaining power is there that helps you not to perish in your temptation or in your sin. And that is why Peter says, in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. In other words, every moment the enemy wants you to do the wrong thing. In every moment, the devil is criticizing you. The devil is put cutting you down. The devil is telling you on how you will not amount to anything. The devil tells you on how you're not going to make it. The devil tries to compare you with other people so that he may make you feel little. He may make you feel like, you know, you have no hope. The devil wants you to live a hopeless life. He is the father of all hopelessness. And so he will monitor your movements. He's moving to and fro. But you know what? The Bible says that as she walks to and fro, back and forth, watching you, so are the eyes of God. Amen. The Bible says that the eyes of God go back and forth watching those who are faithful in him, the righteous in him, which you are today. You know, when you say the sinner's prayer and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, the battle intensified. The enemy swore never to let you go. Just like in the Bible, the children of Israel are being set free. God says, let my people go so they may worship me. And immediately there was an enemy behind them that wanted them back. So the enemy always wants us back to give up, to go back to our old ways, to start complaining about God. And even in those moments, even in those weak moments, let's learn to call upon the sustaining power of God. Amen. Because God will sustain you regardless of what you're going through right now. The devil will enjoy nothing more than seeing you stumble, seeing you sick. He's looking for every opportunity to minister to you in your situation. But when he starts ministering you, you might stand up tall and say, Satan, hear me and hear me well. I am not your property. Amen. I'm not going to allow you to talk to me like that. See, I don't understand why we can talk to other friends or parents or our colleagues and say, you know what, I'm not gonna let you talk to me like that. But we let the devil talk to us the way he wants. The Bible says that since the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent will take it by force. And I believe that it's time for us, the church, to know that the devil is real. He has ears, he hears. And so you need to shut him and say, Satan, you're not going to talk to me like that. I am not a failure, I am a victor. Satan, I am not defeated, I am victorious. Satan, I am not hopeless, I am hopeful. Whatever the devil tells you, learn to talk to him back and say, Satan, I'm not going to let you talk to me like that. I'm not going to be like my parents. If they failed, I am the first person in my generation to be victorious. I am not going to make the same mistakes my parents made. I'm not going to make the same mistakes that my generations made. Why? Because I am sober and I'm vigilant. And I know, Satan, you want to take me back, but I'm not going back there.
Amen.
You see, we have to start talking to ourselves. Letting the enemy know who we are. You know, we suffer from identity. Most of the time, my husband was talking to me about that a few minutes ago. And you know, we want to identify with certain individuals or lifestyles. And really what we are looking for is what kind of lifestyle is going to make me look better, more attractive, or maybe at times help me sustain my job. to a point that, you know, at times we're willing to deny Christ, you know, let's tone it down a little bit. But you can't. Jesus says, whoever denies me, he will deny us. And so really knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, and knowing that God created you for victory, God created you to do great things, that you didn't just show up in this generation, you didn't just show up and die. See, the graveyard is very interesting when you go there. The tombstones just say, Isabella Yakundi, 19, da-da-da-da, I'm going to tell you my years, to this year. I mean, what happened all, you know, between being born and the end? See, the tombstone has a way of summarizing your life, but don't let it look like it's a summary. Your life is not a summary of born in this year and died this year. You were born to do great things between the time you were born and the time you go home with to be with the Lord. It's a celebration of an accomplishment. So that's why we should come and say, I refuse every spirit of premature death in the name of Jesus. Because I am not done. I have a work to do. I have places to go. I have souls to minister to. I have healing in my hands that I need to touch the sick. And they will be healed. And they are waiting.
Amen.
The enemy has a way of making you inferior and insecure. See, the most two demonic forces that are constantly operating in our lives or around our lives. See, when we are born again, the enemy can operate in our lives only if we allow him. But if we have not allowed him, he's going to be walking back and forth outside. Like a lion that sees, you know, meat that there is a glass that is covering it and it cannot touch it. And so the spirit of insecurity and inferiority are the constantly spirits that are operating. And they work hand in hand with other spirits like rejection. So the spirit of inferiority is the same spirit that the devil used in the Garden of Eden, where he told Eve, God knew that if you ate the fruit, you will be like him. What was he really saying? You're not like God. You're inferior. He used the spirit of insecurity too. He said, God knew that if you ate this fruit, you will be all-knowing. And these two spirits are always working. The devil will tell you, you will not get your healing, making you inferior. God doesn't love you. The devil will make you feel insecure when you are in lack. He will tell you God is not going to provide for you. The devil will make you feel like everybody's talking about you. Everybody's looking for you. Everybody hates you. The truth of the matter is, everybody loves you. Because Christ loves you.
Amen.
And if your maker loves you, it doesn't matter what everybody else says. If God says you are healed, it doesn't matter what the doctors say.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know, not long ago, I went to see a doctor, and he gave me a prognosis, and he said, you know, you have this disease. And I came home, and I was like, I didn't know what to tell my husband. But before I even said it, the doctor emailed me and said, is there any reason why you believe that these results are not correct? Because I said, they are not correct. I said, yes. I said, yes, there's a reason why I don't believe they're correct. Long story short, the doctor was proved wrong. See, that's what the enemy does. He gives you a prognosis, you start running with it. You start living in fear. You start confessing what the word of God does not say that you should confess. You start complaining. And then the enemy gains root into your life. But I came to remind you this morning, just as Paul says, that there is no temptation that has overtaken you except that such is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to handle. Amen. But with the temptation also, he will make a way or escape so you may be able to bear it. Amen. In other words, God knows how much you and I can handle. God knows when you have come to that place where in your situation you're not hearing him, in your situation you have nothing that you can do or say to make things better. And that's the place where God loves to show up and say, in your weakness, I am your strength. In your poverty, I'm your riches. In your hopelessness, I'm your hope. And he provides. See, God does not come in so long as you have plan A and B. God does not come in when you say, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. When God comes in, it's at that place where you say, God, without you, I can do nothing. Without your power, there is no man, there is no woman that can help me. See, friends, I've lived in this world long enough that I know that at times, and most of the times, the people that you depended on will walk away from you. The people you depended on to say words of strength and encouragement will say the wrong things to you. The people that you expected maybe to help you get a job will not be there for you. The people that you expected to help you when at your lowest moments, they did not stand up with you. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That he will stand with you. When you come to him in humility. You see, unless we come to that place of brokenness, where we lay down our pride and say, God, take away my shame. Take away my pride, my arrogance, Lord. I'm willing to carry the old ragged cross. And if this means being laughed at, being mocked, I will still carry the cross. Lord, I will live for righteousness and purity and holiness. And even when it seems like I'm the only one that is holding on to righteousness and purity, Lord, I will still do it. See, there is power in weakness. There is power in humility. See, you can never help anybody that is proud. Because pride blinds you from seeing the obvious. Pride blinds you from seeing your weaknesses. Pride tells you that you're okay, even when everyone else sees that you're not okay. Pride blinds you from seeing what your priorities should be. But when you realize that God wants you to depend on Him so that He can sustain you and provide for you, and you come to that place of where you can say, through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. And I have learned to do what? To depend upon His word.
Amen.
Amen.
See, that should be our song. Through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus, and I have learned to trust in God. Through it all, I have learned to depend upon How many of you have, learned to trust in Jesus and depend on His word? Not man's word, but God's word. You know, when we are tired, we need God's sustaining power. Life can be so exhausting. That's not new. At times it requires a lot of energy to do the very simple things that you enjoyed to do. It requires a lot of strength to jump out of bed and do what you know you're supposed to do. At times it takes a lot of strength even to eat because you're going through trials. You're in a valley where food does not attract you no more. And so you have no strength. Not only do you have the appetite to eat, but you have no strength. And you realize that easy things are not always going to be easy. Even saying hi to people might not come easy at those moments. That is why David said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him." See, there is power in finding a song to sing in your moments of temptations. Learn that if you can't read the Bible at that moment, flip in a song there and sing along. Or form a song out of your situation and just start singing. about what you're going through and how you know God is going to deliver you. You can make a joyful noise even through what you're going through. Even at that moment, you will say, Satan, I am not worried. What is the worst that can come? I will go home to be with the Lord. Is that the worst? No, it is not. The Bible says that pleasant in the sight of God is the death of the saints. So Satan, there is no scare. You're not scaring me. Nothing is impossible with God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So let no demon in hell scare you of any situation. Let him not use death, because death is not a blow to those who believe in the Lord Jesus. You should tell Satan, you know, death is just going to sleep. So you're not going to scare me. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Amen.
And Satan, just you know that those who are in Christ don't die, they sleep. So I don't know where you get this thing of it's done when I'm dead, because I'm not. I'm going to sleep. And momentarily, I shall return. I'm saying this to encourage you this morning, that the devil is under our feet.
Yes.
There is nothing that you should use to scare you. No situation that has come your way that is not common to man. So we should learn to tell the devil that I can do all things. When I'm weak, I can do all things. This verse gives you hope, gives me hope that I can do all things. See, at times we're going through situations and we live in our future. So you're not living for today, but you have problems because you're thinking about the future. But the only day you're assured of is today. And so God's promises for today are many. Did you know that there are over 750 promises of God in the Bible that are waiting to be claimed every morning?
Amen.
They are waiting to be claimed every morning. See, I have kids and we have kids, and at times they really amuse me. And they'll come and they will say, Mom, can I have the key to the car? I'm like, dude, that's not your car. Can you say please? No. They are part of the family. So as a child of God, there are things that are rightfully ours. Then we don't have to cry and really intercede to have them.
Uh-huh.
Just like your children. You know, they're walking to the refrigerator and say, Mom, we have no juice. So I'm like, okay, so what are you really saying? They expect you to get it. That if there is no juice in the fridge, Mama needs to get it. You know, our 16-year-old just started driving, and now he doesn't say, Mom, we don't have juice. Mom, can I go get juice? Because he knows he can drive, but he has the power to drive, but there's another power that he doesn't have, so he has to say, can I go get juice? And he will say, if I say yes, he will say, can I have your card? Like, it's good to be a kid. It's good to be God's child. God, can I have healing? God, can I have soberness of mind? God, can I have a good day today? You know, it is not wrong to say, God, give me a good day today. God, give me victory today. It's not always, God, you know, I ask you, please. No, no, no. It's rightfully yours. Ask for it. God, give me money. God, give me healing. God, give me deliverance. God, you know, God, give me. Why? Because they have been freely given. Some things you can ask through prayer, but if you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, where you're constantly talking to Him, you know, for those of you who've been with us long enough, you know that really the best thing that ever happened to me was to have a personal relationship with the Lord. So it's that constantly being aware that He's around me, even when I try to forget. And so I don't have to get into a prayer mode in order to talk to my daddy. You know, immediately something comes into my mind, I can pray about, I can say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that, you know, this is my concern right now, Lord, and I just want to release it unto you. And when I feel troubled, I'll say, God, I thank you that you are giving me a sound mind right now. Lord, I need peace right now. Lord, I need calmness of mind right now. Lord, I refuse anxiety right now. When I feel like I'm being attacked by anxiety, I can easily say, Father, I thank you that you have not given me the spirit of fear, but the spirit of a sober mind. Right there, I don't have to wait to kneel down and say all those prayers, because He's with me. He is surrounding me. So let not the enemy tell you, you know, you need to get home before you talk to the Lord. You need to kneel down. It is okay to kneel down, but don't wait until you get to a place where you can kneel down. The Bible says, ask, seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks does what? Receives. So, and he who knocks, the door is what? The door is open. So God encourages us to come to Him. See, what really works in our Christian walk is that simple faith, like a child. That childlike faith that is not questioning. The childlike faith that believes all things. That is the kind of faith that works. The kind of faith that heals is the faith that says, God, I thank you for your healing. And when the pain comes, say, Lord, I thank you for your healing. And I thank you for your healing. And I thank you for your healing. Why? Because He has said, by His stripes, we are healed. Lord, I thank you for provision. You are able. God is able. Regardless of what you are facing this morning, God is able. God is able to deliver you. God is able to provide for you. God is able to heal you. God is able. His name is Able. Amen. And so when we come to Him and say, God, you are able, you might not be, you know, happily saying it. In tears, you can say, God, you are able. God, you are faithful. Amen. Even when you feel like He's not faithful, He still is. He still is. Yes. And that's a place to say, God, I don't feel like you're faithful, but I'm going to say you are faithful, because it's not about how I feel. It's what your word says. Yes. Yes. And so when that pain comes, when painful moments come, when you're being crushed by the words that others say about you, you still can say, God, in my pain, I know that you are faithful. Amen. God, in this situation, in the wrong accusation, you are faithful. Lord, in this dark moment, you are still faithful. See, when you call God for who He is, He has no choice but to move, because that's what he asks us to do. Go to him in simple faith. God's word will help us and direct us through good times and bad times. See, none of us is prepared enough for bad times. But we should live our lives knowing that these bad times will come. Joblessness moments will come. Sickness will come. Disappointments will come. But it's what we do when they come that is really powerful. In the book of Psalm 119, we find these words: your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many of you have been in dark moments where you felt like there was no light? Like everybody turned their lights off on you. When we need guidance, it's always good to turn to God's word. Let the Bible comfort you. Let the Bible strengthen you. Let the Bible fill you. Let the Bible soothe you. Think of God's word. Place scriptures all over where you can see them and read them. Like if you go to our bathroom, because I know for sure I will go to the bathroom. And so I've placed some scriptures, not for my husband, for me. And I read them. At times I'll put them on the refrigerator. See, it's a war, and it's not going to last unless you want it to last. Yes. Fill yourself with the word of God. Amen. God wants his children to be successful. He wants us to be overcomers. And the only way we can overcome is by letting him, or letting his power, sustain us daily. He promises to strengthen us. He promises to provide for us. He promises to give us hope when we become hopeless. So it's our responsibility to run to God. See, long time ago, there was a man called Paul. I love Paul in the Bible. He felt at one point that he had reached at the end of his rope, and he was asking God to take away something that he did not want to have. He had something going on in his life that he did not like, so he begged God, and he said, take it away. And you know what God said? My grace is sufficient for you. My power works best in what? In your weakness. Do you know what happens after that? Paul found the Lord to be truthful, because God did not take away what he wanted him to take away, but God's grace was abundant in his life. Do you need God's sustaining power today?
Yes.
And if you do, there's an invitation. He wants to do that. He wants to sustain you. He wants you to call upon him, to live for him, to know that he loves you, to know that he surrounds you at every given moment, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That his sustaining power is yours to take, is yours for the asking. You know, let's all learn not to live according to how we feel. But in every given moment when we feel weak, when we feel like things are not going right, to call upon the Lord. And refuse to be moved by how we feel, but be moved by how God sees us and what God is saying about our situation. Don't allow the enemy to beat you down. Talk back to the enemy.
Amen.
You are not the enemy's prisoner. You are God's slave. You are a slave to righteousness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
To victory. You are bound to God's victory.
Amen.
So don't let the enemy play around with you. Let him know that he's defeated. I might feel this way, Satan, but let me tell you one thing. I don't know. You may, maybe some of you needs to have this black attitude. You're not going to mess up.
Breathe.
Satan, you don't Hallelujah. Mess up with me. You're messing up with the wrong person. Because you don't know where the Lord took me out of. You don't know where I've come from. You don't know where I am going. And when you have that attitude, you go, the demons that were sent, they run back and say, man, something is a mess here today. They are on fire for God. We thought we were going to weaken their faith. We thought their sickness was going to destroy them. They are strong. They are confessing the word of God. They are sending us back to where we belong. You know, that is how we should be. Tell the enemy what he doesn't want to hear. That one time, one day, he was thrown down here, not because he was victorious, but because he was defeated. And who thinks, Satan, what do you think? I'm not that dumb to follow a defeated man. I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and not of, because he's victorious. He died and rose again. And he defeated you, Satan. So remind the enemy of who you are.
Yes.
Don't always cry. In tears, say, Satan, I'm done with tears now. No more tears. Let me remind you one thing. And remind him of who you are.
Amen.
And how Christ has bought you. And how Christ has protected you. And how Christ has delivered you. And how he has a future. You know, people, the devil has nowhere to take you except hell. And so I got born again, not necessarily to preach the gospel, but to go to heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
And preaching the gospel is like when kids want to do a good job and they get a sticker. I'm looking for a sticker. So when I go to heaven, he sticks a sticker or a crown and says, well done. But the key is to go to heaven.
Yes.
I've been through enough hell on earth that I don't want the real one.
Exactly.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why I don't play any games with the devil. Because I have seen what he can do in my life if I give him an opportunity. And I wouldn't give him an opportunity. Not even a single day. Because if I did, he will destroy me. So I came to encourage you. That you have the power, you have the authority to defeat the enemy, to live the life that God ordained you to live. You are victorious. You are an overcomer. You are not defeated. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand up and pray.